The little village of Northam, Vermont, which is the town where I first taught school many years ago upon graduating from college, is only about 10 miles from Rutland, which happens to be the second largest city in Vermont. Now, that may not be saying much given the size of cities in Vermont. But Northam lies considerably higher up on the slopes of the Green Mountains from where Rutland is located in the valley. It's not quite the kind of place of which a local would say, well, you know, you can't get there from here, but it comes close to that. It's not on a through route anywhere else. It's off the beaten track. It's the kind of village that you come to because that's where you are headed, and not because you're on the way somewhere else. And so it was a little surprising one day when a young woman in her late 20s showed up on foot at our little four-room school, a complete stranger who knew nothing of the town and who, in fact, had very little idea of where she was. Well, she came into the school, and over lunch, she shared her story, which was fairly intriguing. She was a graduate student at the School for International Training in Brattleboro, Vermont, which is about 65 miles to the southeast. And as part of a course she was taking, she and other students were being dropped off in various places around the state, places they knew nothing about, where they were expected to fend for themselves for 24 hours. Now, my guess is that they were probably given an emergency phone number in case they had to call someone at the school. But the only other thing they had with them, besides their identification, was $2. Dropped off in a strange community with $2. We'll see you tomorrow. Well, I think the teachers knew something about what they were doing because they happened to drop this woman off right in front of Pierce's General Store, which in Northam is the center, the hub of that tiny little village. And Marjorie Pierce, one of the sisters who ran that store, knew everything that was going on in town. And having spoken with this student, she discovered that she had been to Afghanistan and actually hoped to return there. And so Marjorie said, well, you need to go down to the school because Gracie Brigham, one of our teachers, has been to Afghanistan. So of course this woman came. We recruited her to teach that afternoon about Afghanistan. She went home with Grace for a wonderful meal, safe accommodations for the night, and returned with probably a fairly successful story to her course. That was 30 years ago, and I wonder if the School for International Training still sends its students out for that kind of learning experience. Just imagine the liability issues today. But the story does make me wonder, might this be a worthwhile exercise for people who join St. John's Episcopal Church? Now you're a member. We're going to train you for discipleship, drop you off in the middle of nowhere with not even $2. For the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out ahead in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Go on your way, carry no purse, carry no bag, no sandals, greet no one on the road, don't even carry $2 in your pocket. Be dependent only on these words whenever you enter a house. Peace to this house. Now, if you're new and thinking of joining St. John's, that's not part of the membership course. And we all know that not everyone may be called to undertake such missionary journeys of faith. This story from Luke's Gospel is not the one definitive model for the life of discipleship. Nonetheless, I think one can hear within it aspects of faith that characterize every Christian life. This week we've celebrated our nation's Declaration of Independence. But however independent we may like to think we can be, we are also utterly dependent. At times, we become so dependent on things that the words of Jesus come as a real shock. Take nothing for our journeys? Yesterday, I was a guest at the joyful wedding of two young persons in their mid-20s. They're both just out of college. And I learned at the wedding and then saw at the reception that although they knew each other in high school, their relationship really flourished as they began to communicate with each other once they had gone off to different colleges. And how did they communicate with each other? Through letters. Handwritten letters. Do you remember what those were? There at the reception, they had a whole collection of them, letters and postcards with envelopes that had been interestingly decorated from one to the other. And these were not initially love letters so much as life letters. Just got back from my class, off to soccer practice, sharing the news of the week and more of themselves. Life letters which led to love. Go on your way. Carry no smartphone, no iPad, no computer, no screen which has come to seem essential to your life. Might any of us be prepared to do that for the rest of today? In a time when more and more of our communication with others occurs through some kind of social media, maybe the words of Jesus have something to say not only about how we relate to the strangers we greet, but even to those with whom we are most intimate. Still, when was the last time you went on a journey and chose purposefully not to plan for it, to pack for it, and to ensure that you had everything you needed to make that journey safe and successful? Well, if we take the approach of Jesus, or at least hear that approach, it does challenge us because it means giving up the notion that somehow we ultimately are in control, that we can determine the outcome, that if we put everything in place and do all the preparation required, that a journey or a visit or even a life will unfold precisely in the way that we expect it to. Much as we like to do that, we do know this truth. We are not in control. And to enter into the life that Jesus offers us is a continual exercise in letting go. And of recognizing that companionship on the way, even the companionship of Jesus, does not always mean protection and safety. A week ago, 19 firefighters lost their lives while combating the fires, trying to save the community of Yarnell, Arizona. They were members of a Hotshots team, an elite group of firefighters who are trained to combat the worst of wildfire blazes. Everything we have read or heard about them indicates that they were highly trained, highly prepared, not only to fight fires, but to ensure their own safety, always planning escape routes, always having a lookout, watching weather conditions and the progress of the fire. And we know that they did not go into these areas unprotected. They brought all kinds of gear to protect themselves, including those heat-resistant blankets, shelters which were employed as a last effort to protect themselves when the fire overran them. And that these firefighters died is not an indication that they ignored their training or that their heat blankets were ineffective. No, it was an indication of this, that no matter how well prepared we are, how well prepared we can be, we commit ourselves to the things that are most important to us, not because we know we'll be safe, not because we know we have a guarantee, but because in some profound sense we are called to step forward, to engage ourselves. That's what brought those firefighters into that situation of danger. And does anyone doubt that they were doing what they loved, and that even knowing they could not ensure their safety or success, that they nonetheless went into that work each day with determination and perhaps even joy? Jesus is utterly realistic about life. If you enter a dwelling and say, "Peace to this house," sometimes that peace will be received and you will be given shelter. And sometimes that peace will be rejected. So, Your protection is not guaranteed, neither is your success, but neither, so it seems, is your success your responsibility. Offer yourself. Offer what you have. Even more importantly, offer the peace of the kingdom. Offer what you cannot yourself create, but what Jesus gives you to share. And receive what you are given in return, and trust that the work of the kingdom will continue to emerge and flourish in the world. Here in our life at St. John's, the vestry and others have been aware that we have made significant strides in strengthening our common life, in worship, in education, in formation for our children, in seeking to be welcoming to new persons as they join us here in this place. But we're also aware that the call of Jesus Christ is one that calls us to engagement in the world beyond our doors. How do we truly relate to the neighbor down the street, or on the other side of town, or in Honduras, or Tanzania? Do we have enough resources? Do we have enough skills? Do we have enough people? Do we have enough finances? Always important questions to ask. But then we hear this: carry nothing with you. And those words might mean for us that the most important question to answer, to discern, is not whether we're capable, not whether we have the resources, not whether we have $2 or $20,000, but simply this: do we hear Jesus calling us to engage with another person, with another family, with another community? With whom will we sit at table to eat what is set before us, and how will we be changed and blessed by the hospitality of those we meet? For when we leave our purses and our plans behind, we just may discover that our encounters with others will change us, and that some of what we have believed is essential to life can be left by the side of the road as well. Old ways of seeing the world, of seeing ourselves, of seeing others, no longer useful for the journey. When the 70 returned, they did so with joy, and clearly this experiment in discipleship exceeded their expectations of what was possible. Ours is a community in which blessings have abounded. We have seen and rejoiced in significant growth in our numbers, in our stewardship, and in our sense of how God's Holy Spirit is alive and guiding this community. We rejoice by looking around and seeing how much we've received. But how exciting it will be to know the joy of discovering just how little we may need for the kingdom to flourish in our midst, as we take nothing for the journey, save our faith in Christ and the conviction that we too have been called to go out into the world with these words: peace to this house. Amen.